Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Beginning at verse 1. Now he was also speaking a parable to them. Notice the verb tense. Was also speaking. Imperfect tense. Continuous. With regard to it being necessary to always to pray and not to faint. The Greek word echakein for to faint has to do with not giving in to adversity. Not giving in to adversity. So he's teaching a parable on the necessity to always pray and not to faint. Saying, a certain judge was in a certain city, not fearing God and not respecting man. Man being anthropos, the human. Having no respect for the human situation, human philosophy, human appeal. So when you don't fear God and you have no respect for human beings and you're a judge, you're in pretty bad shape. And a widow was in that city, and she was coming to him. Again, notice the imperfect tense. She was coming to him continually, saying, avenge me, or exact justice for me, from my adversary, or opponent. A legal term, meaning somebody that's coming up against her in law. And he did not want to over time. But after these things, that is, after she was continually coming to him, he said in himself, if even I am not fearing God, and I am not respecting man, yet on account of this widow causing trouble for me, I will avenge her, or exact justice for her, in order that, while continually coming, she should not weary me all the way to the end. And the Lord said, here is the message of the text, verse 7. Hear what the unjust or unrighteous judge is saying. It's a command. Hear what he's saying. But will not God perform vengeance or justice of his elect ones, that is the ones who are crying out to him day and night, even while he, that is God, is long-suffering over them? I say to you that he will perform their vengeance or justice in quickness. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith upon the earth? What a text. I'm going to see four things this morning. Verse 1 is the premise. Verse 1 is the premise, the verse or the words or the concept upon which the parable is based. Verses 2 through 5, we have the parable itself. Verses 6 and 7, the Lord shows that this parable is teaching about performance. Performance, verses 6 and 7. And then verse 8, the predicament. The predicament. This text starts out in verse 1. Verse 1 is the premise. It starts out by saying, now he was also speaking a parable to them. Imperfect tense showing continuous action. This is a continuation of the end, the dialogue at the end of chapter 17. In chapter 17, beginning at verse 20 and going through 37, we took 2 weeks on how Jesus warned about the second coming of Christ, second coming of the Messiah. That was very interesting because the Pharisees had come to Jesus and they had said to him, "When is the kingdom coming? When is the kingdom of God coming?" Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with outward observation, but rather the kingdom of God is within you, inside of a person." This is very important because of our text here. I'll repeat it because of how important this is. Even though that teaching of Jesus is in the Bible, we still have many Christians, many people today, chasing fulfillments of prophecy and using that as their excitement and motivation to continue to pursue the things of the Lord. Though they don't pursue it as far as from a growth in teaching standpoint, they just keep getting excited about the things of the Lord because of fulfillment of prophecy, which might or might not be true. Because many of the presentations about fulfillment of prophecy is just a guess. And it changes. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with outward observation." It is a Greek word that means, has a medical term that means to observe somebody's vital signs in a hospital. Jesus said, "You can't take the pulse of the world. You can't go by what things are happening in the world to get ready for the coming of Christ." Or to put it in another way, the Bible says those signs have already taken place. They're already happening in the world. Wars, rumors of wars, disease. It's happening. Back in Paul's day was the beginning of the last days. We have been in the last days for 2,000 years. We get deeper and deeper into the last days, but people still want to see signs. And they still get excited about them. And when they don't come true, they just go to the next emotional, exciting presentation of a prophecy that might be being fulfilled. It's just a guess. It doesn't come with outward observation. The kingdom of God is inside of you. It's spiritual. The kingdom of God comes when you receive Christ. The kingdom of God comes inside of you by the person of His Spirit. What signs do you need? Jesus is already here. And there's a key word here, long-suffering. We know from 2 Peter chapter 3 that there will be scoffers come saying, "Where is His coming? You guys have been predicting it, and all things remain the same." So where is His coming? He says, "Don't consider the promises of God that He's slack concerning His promises. He's long-suffering. He's withholding His judgment for two reasons. Number one, so that others can be saved." There will be people who will receive Christ today. So if He were to end it, they wouldn't have a chance. Secondly, we have another day as Christians to grow. As I've said to you before, whatever spiritual condition we're in our growth and maturity process, that is what we enter into heaven with. So we have another day to experience Christ. We have another day to be changed and transformed. Yes, I want to see the coming of the Lord. But the message is He's already here. I just can't see Him. I just want the relief to be over. You know, I want to get out of this place. I want to be in glory and spend eternity with Christ. But on the other hand, I don't need to leave because Jesus is here. And that's what this text is all about. It's all about faith. In fact, Jesus, in verses 20 to 37 that we took last couple of weeks, Jesus said, "You can't tell by the times because there will be an economic boom happening. People are going to be buying and selling and building and planting, and you're going to say, 'But Christ is coming at any moment.' And they're going to say, 'You've got to be kidding. Everything's going great. Oh, we got some problems in the world. But it's not like the end is going to happen at any moment.'" So I think that's an interesting teaching in light of the fact that many Christians chase after fulfillment of prophecy for their excitement and their motivation. And those, the fulfillment of those prophecies might be true and it might not be true. All I know is they go away and then some new thing comes up. It's not outward. And Jesus said you won't be able to tell. But he's saying the important thing is the kingdom of God is within a person. It's already here. And so the real key is faith, is looking inward, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, looking inward into the inner person where Christ dwells. There's our fortress, there's our shelter, there's our guide, there's our life, there's our strength, everything. The very life of God lives inside of us. And we're continually looking out here, looking to the world, looking to human resources to solve all our problems. Time struggle where God's Spirit is trying to get our attention. It would be as if we're out here going, oh, my problems and all this life and all these things are happening, and God's inside going, look in here. I'm in here. Spiritual. Okay, God, but Lord, I want you to pay attention to what's going on out here because things just aren't really going. And the Lord's continually drawing us to Himself. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says that we have become a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He says we used to know the Lord according to the flesh, but we don't know Him that way anymore. We live by faith. I used to live by my human senses, and it takes years and will continue to take years for the Lord to change me to live by my new creation that He has made in me. And that new creation is to live by faith. Trust the one whom I cannot see. I should not have to feel anything to have faith in Christ. He should not have to prove anything to me. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says that we live by faith and we live by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. It's hope is something we can't see. I have to trust by faith that He's here. He's here in this room today. That He's in my heart. And it's a lifetime struggle of me reaching out to the world for my pleasures, for my answers, looking for resources for my life, and the Lord continually pulling me back to Him. It's a lifetime struggle that's going on between the Lord and ourselves. So as He changes us and transforms us, He transforms us to walk by faith and not by sight. So it is interesting that after presenting this presentation at the end of chapter 17 to the Pharisees, that the kingdom of God is not coming with outward observation, but the kingdom of God is within you, He presents a premise in verse 1 about prayer. Now there are two parables here. We'll take the second one next week. In Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8, the premise is that it is necessary, the word ought, men ought always to pray. The word ought in the English translation is the word necessity. It is necessary to always pray. That is, literally, at all times, pray. And not to faint and not to give in to adversity. So the word faint, some English texts use the word lose heart. It all means to give in. Sometimes we become so weary that we just want to give in. Because it seems like, and that's what this parable is all about, it seems like the Lord's not doing anything. The world's getting worse. Our circumstances get worse. And it just seems like the Lord is not fixing things. So the question, the predicament at the end of this section is, when the Son of Man comes, will He find the faith upon the earth? Will He find people trusting, even though they are in the worst of adverse circumstances, even though the world is just going evil in all different directions, will He find people that are just steadfast, trusting, and waiting? Will he find people who are relying on him and trusting him for their very life, for their very strength? Are they trusting him to be their armor so they can stand and resist the things of Satan? And you know, and I know, and I'm just being honest with you, every one of us, because we're human, we have a problem. We don't have short-term problems so much as we have long-term. Short-term means that if something happens today, I could probably recover and trust the Lord okay. Long-term means if Satan should decide that he's going to afflict me with a trial for the next year, 5 years, 10 years, I might be able to trust him today, this week, next month, maybe through Christmas. But as time goes on, I start wearing down. I start getting discouraged. I start losing heart. It's like, Lord, same old thing over and over again, and you're not changing anything. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse. He's teaching us to look into the inner person, inner man. See, that's the problem with Job. That was his problem. Short term, he did fine. Even when he lost his family, family members were killed and livestock stolen. He says, I came in the world naked. I'm going to leave the world naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's pretty tough. But then he got inflicted by a disease. Boils all over his body. Long term. Then he started listening to his friends. Then he started questioning God. So most of the time, short term, we do fine. Long term, that's tough. It's tough to trust the Lord through the same old difficulty, the same old tribulation, the same old problem, day after day after day, after month, after year, to the point that we become weary and we give in to adversity. We just give up. We give up trusting the Lord and we say, okay, just go ahead and destroy me. I don't care. Tired of it. We all go through that. Some of us do have trouble with short-term trials. But it's the long-term that wears us down. We just get tired of it. Jesus says the answer is, until I get back, is to pray. Now we know from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, that prayer is the means by which we express our submission to God's will. 1 John 5:14 says that if we ask anything according to His will, we can have confidence that He hears us. How do I know what His will is? Don't have to. See, that's what faith is. Lord, let Your will be done. If I have confidence that God hears that prayer and He will bring about His will, verse 15 says, you have the answer to your prayer. Right now, present tense. Lord, I want to pray about this situation, this trial, this tribulation that I'm going through. Just take care of it for me, will you, according to your will? Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. But as I open up my eyes and look around, it's still the same. In fact, as I wake up tomorrow morning, it gets worse. And I prayed about it. According to the Scriptures, whatever is His will. He said for His will to be done. We just cannot handle or accept the fact that in the flesh or in our physical circumstances that God might allow or even cause adversity. Here's a question for you. What do you think the purpose would be for trials and adversity?
Growth.
Be more specific.
Humility.
That's it. What I said right at the beginning. Everything is to draw us in to where Christ dwells. Now, if we released today after church and we went outside, let's say we still had the second hour to go, and we went outside and it started pouring down rain, what would you do? Go inside. That's what the whole point of trials. Our disappointment is that I want my flesh to feel better because I got things I would like to do. See? I want my circumstances to work out better because I want the physical life around me to be enjoyable and things that I can do. But as God sees me looking outward and looking to the flesh to try to get it better because I got things I want to get out there and do, the Lord says, you've taken your eyes off of me. So He causes problems for the flesh. He causes problems for the circumstance. And then all of a sudden we say, Lord, I don't understand this. Why are you? And the Lord says, oh, there you are. Our attention is all out here. He has to cause them, because if everything was fine out here, we would never seek the Lord. Never seek Him. And when we do seek Him, we complain. Lord, why are you doing this to me? You know, the Lord can always come back to us with whatever we come to Him with. If I come to Him and I say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? He could say, I don't know. Why are you doing this to me? What do you mean? You're not helping me. You're not listening. I mean, anything I say, He can say back. If I complain about Him, He can complain about me. I'd rather have His mercy. You know? Lord, I know you could complain about me, but I just want mercy. You know, there's a valuable lesson in Proverbs chapter 1. Sometime read Proverbs chapter 1. Two things about the book of Proverbs. Number one, it was written from a father to his son. A collection put together to teach. Listen to the law of your mother. Listen to the words of your father. All the people and things to stay away from. But you know, in Proverbs chapter 1, wisdom is personified. Wisdom becomes a person. Wisdom says, I have called for you in the streets, but you would not listen. Therefore, when you fall into distress and calamity and you call out for me, I'm not going to listen. You say, well, that's kind of immature of God to play the game. He's trying to teach us a lesson. Lord, why are you doing this to me? I don't know. You haven't been listening to me for a long time. I had to get your attention somehow. Naturally, I don't live by faith. I don't trust the Lord naturally. He's doing all this for us. He's forcing us to turn inward. And if we struggle with it and fight against it our whole life, then it's going to be an entire life struggle of me saying, I don't want to look inward. I do not want to trust Christ. I want God to do something for me out here. I want it to make my physical life better. Well, if I'm going to fight against God, guess who's going to win? And some people spend their entire life fighting with God, trying to get Him to come out here and make things better. And He's saying, no, I have made things worse out there so that you look in here. Whenever we talk to the Lord, it's prayer. The Lord wants us to learn to live by faith, to come to Him and submit to His will being done in all of our circumstances. To learn the lesson and to experience Christ in all of our circumstances. In the parable, verses 2 through 5, verse 2, He says there was a certain judge in a certain city, not fearing God and not respecting man. Verse 3 says there was also a widow in that city. She was continually coming to Him and saying, avenge me from my adversaries. Verse 4 says, he didn't want to do anything over a period of time. He just kept saying, go away. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. But after these things, there came a day when he said in himself, even if I do not fear God, and even though I am not respecting man, yet I will exact avenge this woman from her opponent. He says in verse 5, the purpose, hina clause, in order that while she is continually coming to me, she will not weary me. Interesting. Hupopiazo for weary means to hit you underneath the eye, give you a black eye. Some think this is figuratively to say she's going to give him a black eye politically. But it also means to continually hit somebody under the eye and wear them out. In boxing terms, we used to call it the jab. You know what the jab is? You just continually jab, 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 set up the big punch. Boom. So he's showing that this woman's just beating him down. Every day. You know, next case, oh no, not you again. Lady, I don't care. Go settle your own problems. Oh, but God takes vengeance and he helps the widow. I don't care what God's going to do. I don't care about your problem. Just go away. But there came a day where he says, you know, if I rule in her favor, if I listen to what she's saying, she'll go away. Great. Okay. I rule in your favor and case settled. He's like, phew, got her off my back. Now, whenever Jesus spoke a parable, he either presented it to represent a contrast or he presented it to represent a comparison of similarities. He says, and notice the question in verses 6 and 7, the performance, he says, hear what the unjust or unrighteous judge is saying. Listen to him. Contrast to that. Verse 7, will not God perform his vengeance or justice of his elect? Listen to this. While he is long-suffering over them, these ones who are crying out to him day and night, it's like we're crying out to him saying, Lord, help me. But he is long-suffering over them. He's withholding. He's not acting. He's acting in that he's keeping us. But it seems like he's not responding. The text shows a present participle is that while he's performing this, he is long-suffering over us while we're crying out. He's withholding. He's not bringing judgment. He's not bringing the end because he's working with us, because he's convicting people of their need of Christ to receive Christ. And so while he's long-suffering over us and we're crying out night and day, the question is, will he not perform his vengeance? Yeah, he will someday. Interesting, there's a double negative in this question. Will he not perform? Meaning, of course. Then the predicament in verse 8. I say to you, he will perform their justice in quickness. That is not quickly, but when it happens, it's going to happen suddenly and speedily. Nevertheless, here's the predicament. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith upon the earth? Technical point, those of you following the Greek text, notice the particle ara. It's in the Greek text, but it's not translated in English. When the particle ara is used to express interrogation or question, it's put in the text to mean this next statement is a question, but it's not translated. That's how we know this is a question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith upon the earth? You know, there's going to be a problem. Obviously, before Jesus comes, people are going to be worn down and weary over their tribulations and trials. The deeper we go into the last days, the more difficult life becomes. The more evil. We now have a constant war, will be to the end, with terrorism. Life will never be the same. Evil has, some of us were sitting around, in fact, there's been a few times we've sat around and said, well, when I was in high school, compared to the condition in high schools today, what a difference. And you will too, as you grow older, if you're a young person, you have your own family, you look back and say, wow, evil and the immorality of society is just racing at a fast pace. It's all around us. What do? Life isn't what it used to be in the physical realm. It's worse. It's more difficult. It's going to become more difficult for us to trust Him, and the Lord's going to bring more difficulty so that we would learn to turn inward, to trust Christ for our life and our satisfaction and for our strength, because we naturally don't do that. The predicament is that when the Lord comes, will He find the faith? Will He find people living by the faith, living by the persuasion of God's Spirit that's telling them, just be still and know that He's God? Now, when my feelings, when my flesh is raging, because I'm so attached to this earthly life, emotionally, psychologically, even my fleshly feelings, when I'm so attached to this earthly life, it makes it very difficult for someone to say, just listen to the still, small voice. As He says, be still. Just stand. Because we want to do something. We got to do something. No. Just stand. Be still and know that He's God. Trust the Lord. Trust that He's going to keep you. He might not do anything, but keep you. Protect you. Preserve you. And I find that as time goes on, that's really what it's all about. I thought a few years ago when I came to the realization of what my ultimate end relationship with the Lord was going to be with His earthly life, I thought it was a bummer. Because the Lord's basically saying, I'm getting you to a point, you start out here and He gets you to a point where He doesn't have to do anything, He doesn't have to prove anything, you don't have to feel anything. You just have to trust that He's going to keep you through all of this, and one day you're going to wind up in eternity with Him. He's not going to do anything but keep me. That's it. You mean you're not going to come down and intervene in all my circumstances and it's like, no, yeah. Stop and think about it. Faith requires that God does not have to do anything out here. Nothing. Lord, here's my circumstance. Let Your will be done. So He says, okay. Lord, You didn't hear me. But it seems like You're not doing anything. You're right, I'm not. What does He have to do? No matter what happens today, if I should wake up physically tomorrow, will I still be in Christ? And Christ in me? Yeah, He kept me for another day. Look at us. Look around. Weary, beaten down soldiers. Tired. Sick, hurting. He got us through. He's still with us. He got us through another day, didn't He? When it's our time to die and to go be with Christ, He'll let go and He'll receive us into His arms. But He keeps His promise every day, even though we don't trust Him. He still says, I kept you for another day. You're still in Christ. He has never left, never forsaken. But I didn't see Him do much out here. Because faith requires He doesn't have to. If the unjust judge gives in to this woman because she nagged him, will not God, in contrast to that, in quickness, perform His justice for those who are crying out to Him, even though while they're here on the earth He's long suffering, He's not intervening, not doing anything out here? I'm in here and I find myself, going back to our analogy, it's pouring down rain outside. I find myself as a Christian looking out the window. Oh Lord, when's it going to stop raining? As if the building is my flesh. And I'm living inside my flesh and I'm looking out there saying, when are you going to make it better outside so I can go out there. It's to the Lord's advantage that he has it rain 365 days out of the year, so that I have to stay in here. The more trials and tribulations there are out here, the more I have to stay in here, don't I? The more I have to look to Christ. I have to rely on Him. It's raining out here. I'll get wet if I go out there. Lord, when are you going to make it nicer? Better? Enjoyable? And the Lord is directing us to Himself, that He is our joy and He is our satisfaction. He is our peace. When I was younger, I always wondered how elderly saints, people who had been walking with the Lord for many, many, many years, could just sit there on their front porch in their rocking chair, watching the world go by and shake their heads and go, my, 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 how things have changed. And just sit there and rock and just be at peace, you know? All that's happening all around them, turn the news on, just shake their head and go, my, my, my. But they're at peace. Their flesh has slowed down. The Lord's worked on them and worked with them over the years. And they've finally come to a point where they're at peace with God and experiencing His peace in their heart, and just let the world go. Let it go by. In contrast to the unjust judge, the Lord will perform His vengeance. He will perform His will. It's a fact. But the question is, the predicament is, will he find people trusting Him? Or will they give in to adversity out of discouragement and hardship? Next week we'll take the second parable. It is necessary to pray. That is, to be seeking the Lord and submitting to His will for all of our circumstances, trusting Him for our life and our peace and our joy and our strength. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your Word, for the work of Your Spirit in our hearts. We thank You for this new creation that You have made us to be. But we're so used to going by the human senses. We pray that You'd continue to change us and transform us to live by faith, something spiritually we cannot do as a normal function as a human being. It takes the development of Your Spirit in our hearts. We pray that You'd teach us more and more to live by faith and to understand why the trials and hardships do hit our life. Is to draw us inward into the inner person where Christ dwells, to trust Him for everything. Give us understanding and give us wisdom as we go through this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.